Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. So thank you very much for allowing me to come and speak here today. So today I chose a verse, and the verse is on the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, Chaitanya Charitamrita, and chapter 22, text 100. So we'll read the verse. Anukulyasya sankalpa pratikulyasya varjanam rakshishyatiti vishwaso goptritve varanam tata atmanikshepa karpanye shadvidha sharanagati. Anukulyasya, of anything that assists devotional service to the Lord. Sankalpa, acceptance. Pratikulyasya, of anything that hinders devotional service. Varjanam, complete rejection. Rakshishyati, he will protect. Iti, thus. Vishwasa, strong conviction. Gopritve, in being the guardian, like the father or husband, master or maintainer. Varanam, acceptance. Hata, as well as Atmanikshepa, full surrender, self-surrender. Karpanye, and humility. Shatvida, sixfold. Sharana Agati, process of surrender. Translation of Prabhupada as Divine Grace. Shiraisi Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki Shira Prabhupada. The six divisions of surrender are the acceptance of those things favorable to devotional service, the rejection of unfavorable things, the conviction that Krishna will give protection, the acceptance of the Lord as one's guardian or master, full self-surrender and humility. Purport. One who is fully surrendered is qualified with the six following characteristics. One, the devotee has to accept everything that is favorable for the rendering of transcendental loving service to the Lord. Two, he must reject everything unfavorable to the Lord's service. This is also called renunciation. Three, a devotee must be firmly convinced that Krishna will give him protection. No one else can actually give one protection, and being firmly convinced of this is called faith. This kind of faith is different from the faith of an impersonalist who wants to merge into the Brahman effulgence in order to benefit by cessation of repeated birth and death. A devotee wants to remain always in the Lord's service. In this way, Krishna is merciful to his devotee and gives him all protection from the dangers found on the path of devotional service. The devotee should accept Krishna as his supreme maintainer and master. He should not think that he is being protected by a demigod. He should depend only on Krishna, considering him the only protector. The devotee must be firmly convinced that within the three worlds, he has no protector or maintainer other than Krishna. Self-surrender means remembering that one's activity. Five, self-surrender means remembering that one's activities and desires are not independent. The devotee is completely dependent on Krishna, and he acts and thinks as Krishna desires. The devotee is meek and humble. Lord Krishna states in the Bhagavad Gita 15:15, Sarvasya chaham hiri sanivishto, mata smriti jnanam apohanam cha, vedaischa sarve raham eva vedyo, vedanta kred veda ved eva chaham. I am seated in everyone's heart, and from me come remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. By all the Vedas I am to be known. Indeed, I am the compiler of Vedanta, and I am the knower of the Vedas. Situated in everyone's heart, Krishna deals differently according to the living entity's position. The living entity's position is to be under the protection of the illusory energy or under Krishna's personal protection. When a living entity is fully surrendered, he is under the direct protection of Krishna, and Krishna gives him all intelligence by which he can advance in spiritual realization. The non-devotee, however, being under the protection of the illusory energy, increasingly forgets his relationship with Krishna. Sometimes it is asked how Krishna causes one to forget. Krishna personally causes his devotee to forget material activities, and through the agency of Maya, Krishna causes the non-devotee to forget his devotional service to the Lord. This is called apohana. Om jnana timirandhasya jnananjana shalakaya chakshurun militam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha shri chaitanya manobhishtam stapitam yena bhutale Svayam Rupa Karamahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Tapara Kamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamstra Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sagana Raghunathan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sagana Lalita Sri Vishakan Vitamstra He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. So thank you for inviting me and give me the opportunity to speak. I'm not the most qualified person to speak in any way at all, but I think Panchatattva is very merciful and give me this opportunity to come here and discuss something. Someone told me that I saw a quote saying that God is not the kind of person who called the qualified. He's the kind of person who qualified the called. So I'm hoping that Krishna has given me this opportunity to come and speak here and also give me the qualification and some other realizations to also share something. Don't have many, but hopefully something will come through. Let's see what happens. So how many people have come across this verse before? Quite a few people. It's actually a very famous verse, right? And it originally appears in the Hari Bhakti Vilas, Sanatana Goswami. And it was popularized and made famous by Bhakti Vinod Thakur, who wrote a lot of songs on it, in a specific verse. And it speaks about something very important to everybody, devotees included, and non-devotees as well. It speaks about surrender. Right? In the 8th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, the pastime of Gajendra, the elephant, is there. And describes how Gajendra was a very powerful elephant. He was actually the king of the elephants. And he went to this lake in the heavenly planets and tried to enjoy it with his consorts in the lake. He was feeling thirsty, so he went to this lake, tried to drink some water and have a bath. And play around the water with his consorts and his whole family. And because he was such a powerful elephant, he was causing huge disturbance, messing up the whole place. And a crocodile that was residing within the water was feeling really frustrated and appeared and grabbed a hold of Gajendra's leg. And a whole fight ensued that lasted for 1,000 years. Right? They had a huge fight. And Gajendra, obviously being an animal of the land, though very powerful, was weak in the water. And then at some point Gajendra realized that I'm not going to win this fight. So he decides to surrender to the Lord because he realizes that his family and his relatives and all the people around him can't do anything. So that pastime, Prabhupada compares it to the situation of the living entity in the material world. He explains that living entity in this material world is just like Ajendra the elephant, trying to enjoy material facilities and completely oblivious to the fact that death is coming, and then a crocodile comes and grabs a hold of his leg and basically kills him. So Prabhupada said that everyone in this world is just like Gajendra, in the same situation as Gajendra. Everyone in this world is struggling to find happiness. Everyone is in this world is also struggling to defeat death. In Sri Upanishad, in I believe 15th or 16th mantra, Prabhupada says everyone is trying to avoid death. Even Hiranyakashipu tried it, but he couldn't do it. And we see that in this world, there's so many little Hiranyakashipus also trying the same way, right? And he was talking to some of his disciples on the morning walk, and they were having a discussion and talking about how society has become really advanced. And Prabhupada was questioning, he said, how have they become really advanced? Tell me. They were saying, we have so many material comforts, we have nice skyscrapers, we have nice cars, airplanes and different things like that. Prabhupada said, okay, so you've got all these things, but have you been able to conquer death? They said, no. He said, but we can make you die very peacefully. We can drug you so you can die peacefully. And he says, that's just another form of death, basically. Just drugging someone so they forget what death is about is not really conquering death. So he was making that point. And he says that because people are godless in this world, no matter how much they try to be happy, they'll always fail. The situation will just be like trying to fit a square peg in a round hole. You know? You've seen kids, they have these small toys where they're designed to help them become more cognitive. You know? Be able to tell the difference between a round hole and a square. Right? So they're supposed to put a square in a square and a round piece in the brown hole. But he says if you try to be happy in this world, it's just like trying to put a square peg in a round hole. It won't happen because it's not meant to be. Right? At least it's not meant to be the way you're trying to be. Because he also said, once he was asked by a reporter what the goal of life was, and he also said the goal of life is to enjoy. And then he said, the only difference is we don't know how to enjoy in this world, right? Enjoyment, he said, can only come when people become Krishna conscious, right? Because when people become Krishna conscious, they'll be established in their constitutional position. And then they won't have to try hard to be happy or come naturally, because the soul by nature is Satchidananda, eternal, full of knowledge and full of bliss. So you don't have to try so hard. Don't have to pursue happiness. It will come naturally. All you have to do is become Krishna conscious. And an intelligent person is he who endeavors for our happiness. Because he who tries to be happy here will just be like chasing shadows like that. So he wanted devotees to preach this. Right? He was adamant. He gave this instruction to all the devotees to preach this message. Right? To go and tell people. Right? So while preaching movement, we go out there, we're trying to preach, teach people how to be Krishna conscious. But sometimes we struggle to get results, because problem is, although we're repeating what Prabhupada says, we ourselves are not Krishna conscious. Right? And it's very difficult to give someone something you don't have. Though Prabhupada said repeat, right? And he was very happy when devotees repeated, right? One time, Shamasunda Prabhu's daughter, Saraswati, she used to run around when Prabhupada was there. She was a kid. And she had this famous thing she used to do. She'd go to someone and then pull her arm and said, do you know who Krishna is? I said, no. He's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then she ran off. And Prabhupada was very happy. He said, just see, she's an expert preacher, because she's repeating. Yeah, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. She's understood everything. So we're supposed to repeat, but then at some point we're also supposed to boil the milk so we become qualified, right? Because we're trying to tell people how to surrender to Krishna, but we ourselves are not surrendered. So this verse here is speaking about the idea of surrender, right? How to become surrendered to Krishna. And this is very important to understand, because Krishna consciousness is an active thing, dynamic thing. Because we come to Krishna consciousness with the understanding that the whole world is struggling due to lack of God consciousness. And then we hear from the Gita that Krishna says, he who surrendered, was a bahunam janmanam ante jnanavam mam prapadyante vasudeva sarvamiti samahatma sudullaba. After many lifetimes, he who is in knowledge finally realizes that I'm the Supreme Personality of God, and then he surrenders. Such a person is very rare. Everyone else out there is in Maya, and I'm a devotee, so I'm very rare, I'm very special. So we become comfortable and very complacent, and we start to think that just because we're in the association of devotees, everything is taken care of. But one Prabhupada disciple actually made this point. He used to have this very famous quote, he used to say, he said that Maya is very powerful. She can trick you in two ways. First way she can trick you is to make you think that you can never be a devotee. It's too difficult. But then when she realizes it's difficult to, when she realizes that you're determined, then she flips it around and she starts to make you think you're a good devotee. Everything is sorted. You don't need to worry about a thing. You know, look, you're chanting your 16 rounds. In fact, you wake up before everyone else. You wake up 15 minutes before everyone else, and you're chanting all your rounds before Mangalati. You're doing really well. You're an association of devotees. Lord Chaitanya says, Sadhu Sangha, Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Shastra Koi, Avamatra Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Siddhi Hoi. In the association of devotees, you can achieve all perfection. So what's the problem? What do you need to worry about? She can make you think that. But it's explained that just being in the association of devotees and coming to Krishna consciousness is not the same as achieving Krishna consciousness. Right? It's just like you have a map and you're trying to get somewhere and someone gives you the map. You have the map, you can find a place on the map, and then you think you're already there. It's not the same. Right, knowing where the place is on the map and getting to the place are two different things. Right? So it's recommended that we regularly meditate and look at our own life and see how much are we surrendering to Krishna. Now surrender is a very scary, it's a very esoteric word, a very big word. How can we practically, what does it mean? Prabhu, you're so surrendered. He's so surrendered. But what does it actually mean? And that's what this verse is speaking about. And I chose this verse to discuss today and see how we can dissect the verse and see what concepts we can come up with and try to make them relevant to our own life, right? Because the scriptures speak a certain way, but if we discuss it together, then we can come up with some important tips that we can use to also improve our spiritual practice. Because the whole idea of Krishna consciousness is to start to relish it. Right? We have to start relishing it. So, this verse here is speaking about the six divisions of surrender. And the first one it speaks about is acceptance of things favorable to devotional service and the rejection of things unfavorable to devotional service. Right? Acceptance of things favorable to devotional service and rejection of things unfavorable to devotional service. Right? Krishna consciousness is like a cultivation, right? So right here is speaking about detachment, right, and discrimination. A devotee has to have discrimination, right? And Sri Shopanishari explains that an advanced devotee has got a vision whereby he can see the energy of the Lord, he can see every living entity also in connection to the Lord, but he's able to interact with this world, right, in such a way that he doesn't become entangled in his soul, because he has that vision, right? Normally, people think that when they come to spirituality, right, it's okay, you know. Spiritual, I think spiritual becomes a sentimental thing, you know. I'm spiritual, I love everything, you know. Sometimes people confuse walking in the park as a spiritual activity, but sometimes they think listening to classical music is a spiritual activity, things like that. But here it's explained that a devotee has to be able to discriminate that not everything in this world is favorable for our Krishna consciousness, right? But the problem is because we don't educate ourselves, we often get trapped, we often get snapped by the illusory energy of the Lord. So we find that in our practice, a lot of our endeavors, we take one step forward, right, and about two steps backwards. So this point is being made here that a devotee has to have discrimination, right? To know what is material and what is spiritual. If someone was to ask you right now, what is material, what would you say? How would you explain it to someone? Pardon? Could you speak up, please? Okay, everything that's not included in Krishna's service. Okay, could you give a practical example?
Let's say music that is made by a materialist. Mm-hmm. Let's say some classical piece. It's materialistic as long as it reminds me of metro. Mm-hmm.
That's a nice one. That's just the first example that came to you. Yeah. It's a very good point. So you see music, for example, is something that will be used by a non-devotee for a different purpose, be used by a devotee for another purpose. And we see that in times of when Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj, for example, he was very expert at using everything in Krishna's service. Right? In fact, he used to get criticized for it. Yeah? At this time, when he was around, he used to be used technology, right? In fact, it said that he was the first person to install a printing press in the Gaudiya Math, right? He installed a printing press behind the deities, behind the altar. And they went through a whole installation ceremony, you know, just like you have an installation ceremony for the deities. He will also go through the same procedure and have the printing press going on 24/7. And one day someone criticized him and asked, told him, why is it that you have the printing press going on? Like, if you ever heard of printing press, I don't know if anyone works here in printing magazines and all that, but they're really loud, these machines. And he has it going on even while the deities are supposed to be resting. And he said that the sound of the printing press is like a melodious kirtan. Because what is the idea of kirtan? To glorify the Supreme Lord. And the printing press is printing books full of glorifications of the Supreme Lord. Therefore, that printing press, the sound it's making, is doing kirtan. Right? People used to criticize him for this. Right? One time, Parikram, and he used to come in cars. So one time he turned up in a car, followed by 16 lorries, right? And he turned up in a massive car, a really posh looking car, right? People asked him why. But when he checked the lorries was full of prasadam for the devotees, right? Because he had this idea that basically everything should be used for the service of Krishna. The tendency is that I get these people that say that detachment means I don't want anything to do with the world, anything at all. There was this story of devotees went to Prabhupada and said that this yogi, this spiritualist, that he rejected money, right? And Prabhupada said, you should give me the money because I use the money for Krishna's service, right? So Bhaktisiddhanta had a similar mood, right? But if you look at the flip side, he was using everything for Krishna's service, but when it came to his own personal situation, his own personal needs, he was very detached, right? Very, very detached. In 1905, when he was about 31, he went to the Holy Dham, just around the corner from Yoga Pit in Mayapur, and he built a bhajan kutir there, and his idea was to sit there and chant the holy name of Krishna, right? And he made this plan, he had this amazing plan, that he will stay in his Bhajan Kutir and chant Hare Krishna for 9 years, and will chant, will chant 192 rounds daily, 9 years. And he figured that if he chanted 192 rounds every day for 9 years, by the end of those 9 years, he would have chanted 1 billion names of Krishna. And that was his focus. He wanted to chant the holy name of Krishna to prepare him for his preaching mission. So he built his Bhajan Kutir. But the thing is, but the Bhajan Kutir was so simple, right, that it said that the roof was so simple that when it started raining, the roof was broken. When it started raining, he didn't even bother fixing the roof. He used an umbrella to cover himself while he was chanting, right? He was so detached, and he would only eat very simply, right? He would just use rice, which he would, I think it was boiling ghee or something like that, very simple. And he would just bow down, take one mouthful, and whatever he kept in his mouth, that was it. That's all he would eat for the rest of the day, and then keep chanting the names of Krishna, right? So the idea this verse is explaining is that a devotee has to be detached, right? But when it comes to real detachment actually means that for one's own personal gratification, we keep it really simple, but we give the best to the deity, just like we see right now, Panchatattva dressed really nicely, right? And I don't mean to upset anyone, but generally when the Mataji is dressed the deities, they look better than when the other. So just to let you know. But it shows here that whatever skills and abilities they have, they're using the service of Krishna. Normally, in the world outside, the ladies spend a lot of time fluffing off their faces and all these different things they do, like in L'Oreal, Garnier adverts or whatever. Yeah? But here these ladies are actually engaging their propensity in the service of Krishna. Right? Yeah? And basically the idea is that we should be looking for every opportunity, right, and be assessing whatever talent I have, how to use in the service of Krishna. Because if we don't use it in the service of Krishna, we'll ultimately end up using it in our own service. Like that. One time, one devotee, I was speaking to him and I was explaining to him that, Prabhu, I like kirtan. I really like singing, like anything. In fact, I like singing. When I used to live outside, I was in a devotee. Those kind of people that would stand in front of the mirror for hours and singing Frank Sinatra songs and things like that. But you know, the thing is, I don't know if it's good for me, because if I develop some ability, I might get puffed up and things like that. And he said, no. If you like singing, you should develop it more, because then you can sing for Krishna. Because if you don't, you'll end up going outside and start singing movie songs, is what he's telling me. So here, this verse explains, the first step of surrender is to always engage everything we have in Krishna's service as much as possible. Otherwise, we'll end up using it in our own service. Right? It's a very powerful point, and Prabhupada used to emphasize this as much as possible. You'll always be looking for opportunities and figuring out how to engage while in Krishna's service. That. And the next point here is a devotee has to have the conviction that Krishna will give him protection and accept Krishna as his Lord and Master. So here he's speaking about faith, right? Faith and fearlessness, very important qualities for every devotee. Because the idea we're trying to establish a relationship with Krishna, and any relationship has to be founded on faith. Telling you, if you have a husband and wife, and the husband has no faith in the wife, there's a lot of problems, right? First of all, will be in anxiety, and then the wife will start to get really upset. Why is he not trusting me? Have I done something that could lead him to think that I'll cheat on him? Things like that. You need to have faith and trust. So devotee has full faith in Krishna, and therefore he's fearless. Fearless in his preaching, fearless in his interactions, fearless in pushing the movement, like that. And perfect example of this was Srila Prabhupada, when he was told at a very advanced age when he was told when he was young to push the movement on. And when he reached a very advanced age, the kind of age that most people be thinking about retirement, right? Most people be thinking of finding a nice bungalow in some remote place in Iceland or something like that, settling there with their wives, right? He decided to cross over the ocean and go to a foreign place, somewhere he'd never been before, right? To try to give the message of Krishna consciousness. So in the scriptures, there's examples of various devotees, very fearless. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati was another classic example. Someone was very fearless. They used to call him Simha Guru because the way he used to preach was like a lion, like massive lion roaring. The way he used to preach was amazing. And he used to smash impersonalists, and they used to be afraid of him. And there were a lot of people that didn't like him very much for his preaching because he used to defeat their misconceptions. And a lot of them were relying on using religion as a way to further the material situation. And Bhaktisiddhanta was speaking against this, and they didn't like him very much. In fact, there were people who were threatening to kill him. Right? Whenever he used to have these parikrams, they would send people to try to kill him. Right? One time they were doing a parikram in, I think it was Vrindavan, and they sent these yobs, these hooligans, to attack the devotees, because there was a lot of devotees, using bricks and stones and things like that. They were throwing it at the devotees. And people thought that Bhaktisiddhanta would get killed. Right? So it wasn't until one of the brahmacharis decided that what we should do, we should swap clothes, because the brahmachari looked like Bhaktisiddhanta. So he put on Bhaktisiddhanta's clothes, and then Bhaktisiddhanta put on his clothes. Then he pretended to be Bhaktisiddhanta. But although they tried to attack the devotees and harm the devotees, Bhaktisiddhanta was not fazed. Did he try to stop the parikram? No, they carried on the parikram. People called the police. The police came to try to guard the place, but they carried on the parikram. And that's when he made that famous statement that the jackals may howl, he said, but the caravan will carry on, right? These people can hate us. These people can try to harm us. It doesn't matter. Why? Because we're servants of Krishna, and Krishna will protect us, right? If Krishna says in Gita that he will protect his devotee, why should we be afraid of these people? Completely and utterly fearless, right? So much so that devotees were thinking to give him a bodyguard to protect him because his life was under threat, but he refused. Right? So this is the point here. Devotee has to have faith in Krishna. Sometimes we doubt Krishna because we're not so sure, because we come from an environment where trust is not the most maintained thing, you know. So we start to question, can this person actually catch me? Will he be able to catch me? He's telling me to surrender. He's telling me to give up everything. But can he actually do it? Will he actually do it? But Krishna's protection comes in a variety of ways. And sometimes it may come in a way we may not expect also. Right? So although the material energy may kick, devotee looks at it as like being in boot camp. One devotee who used to be in the army in Korea, he said that in the army, The people in charge used to tell him that we're trying to mold your heart into a very beautiful sculpture. But the problem is your heart is hard like stone. So we have to grind your heart until it becomes malleable enough, and then we can develop a very nice shape out of it. So whatever difficulties devotees are going through, they're looking at it like that. It's Krishna trying to shape my heart. But then eventually at the end, it's been a very nice sculpture. Right? A very beautiful masterpiece. Whatever difficulty devotee goes through, it doesn't matter. For the service of Krishna, I'll still do it. Right? If I'm being asked to speak or sing or whatever, it doesn't matter. If it goes well, it doesn't matter. Right? I'll do my service, and that's it. Right? So, here is explaining that devotees is fearless. If Krishna wants to kill me, no one can protect me. If Krishna wants to protect me, no one can kill me. And we can see that with the past Pralad Maharaj. No one can kill me. So that's the an explanation. The devotee has faith in Krishna's protection, but he also has faith in Krishna's maintenance. Krishna will maintain me. When Burijan Prabhu, right, the story, when I first went to Hong Kong to try to start a center, things were very difficult because they didn't know anyone in Hong Kong. They just moved, didn't know anybody at all. Very difficult to start anything. They didn't have any money. They didn't know where food was gonna come from. But then I found that every day there was a young boy who used to turn up with a basket of fruits and give it to them as a gift. They didn't know this boy. He would turn up at their door with a basket of fruit every day. Right? And then when things started picking up, when they were making a bit of Lakshmi and getting a bit of support, this boy stopped coming. So Burijan Prabhu concluded that it was actually Krishna's arrangement. He sent somebody to provide them facilities. And so there's a story of this man called Arjunacharya. He's a Brahmin. Prabhupada tells this story quite often. Arjunacharya was a Brahmana who was very poor, right? He was struggling financially, but he used to read the Gita. He was a very religious person. So he read the Gita, and then when he come across that verse in which Krishna says that I carry what the devotee lacks and I preserve what he has. You know, there's a verse in the Bhagavad Gita. It says, I'll always protect my devotee. Whatever he lacks, I'll carry, and whatever he has, I'll preserve it. And Arjunacharya, because his situation, he felt, was not the most conducive. He doubted this verse. So whenever I come across this verse, one day he decided to cross it out. He used a pen and actually crossed it out. And then he left the Gita there and he went to the river to have his bath. Right? So while he was away, two boys turned up at the doorstep, knocked at the door. His wife opened the door, and they had some food, which they gave to the wife. And she said, oh, this is so nice. You guys, you should stay, for my husband is coming back soon, and I'm sure he'll be very happy to meet you, because you've done something so nice for us. And then the boy said, no, we don't want to wait for him. Please, we don't want to see him. He said, why? Because if we see him, he's going to beat us, he's going to hurt us. Right? She said, why are you saying this? My husband is the most gentle person in the world. She said, no. He hurt us already. We don't want to meet him. She said, why are you saying that? And he showed, one of the boys turned his back, showed his back to the wife, and there was a scar on his back. Right? She was completely shocked. And then they ran off. So when her husband came back, she chastised them like anything. He said, why are you doing this? Hurting little children. That's wrong. He said, what little children? And she explained the story. And he was shocked. He went to his Gita and he looked at the verse and the line in the Bhagavad Gita, the line across the verse had disappeared. And then he connected, he realized that because he doubted Krishna and he crossed that line, Krishna appeared to him, to his wife. And to make it clear that Krishna will always protect the world and always maintain the world, Krishna personally came with Balaram. And then that line across his back was Arjunacharya, because he crossed it out in the Gita, and Krishna took it so personally that it actually appeared on his back. And he realized this and he became really sorry. Right, so Krishna always maintains his devotees, right, no matter what happens. And if it doesn't seem like he's maintaining, that's also his maintenance. Right? Because we may not be ready for whatever we're asking for. Prabhupada once said to devotees, you're asking for the whole world, but what are you going to do with the whole world? Right? So sometimes devotees come to Krishna, Krishna, give me this, give me that. Can I have this? We have a whole shopping list. Right? And then when we don't get what we want, then what happens? We get, oh, Krishna, a demon. Right? They ask you for this. Like a lady one time, she was complaining to Chandramouli Maharaj that Krishna is not a very nice person. She said, why is that? She said, I went to him and then I asked him to give my boys 10 A's in his exams, and the boy didn't get 10 A's, he got 7. So that's wrong. And Maharaj was laughing like anything, he was just telling his story. That he got 7 A's instead of 10, and therefore Krishna is a demon. So this is the next point. And the last 2 points is that full self-surrender and humility. Right? So humility and self-surrender referring to giving everything to Krishna. Right? Self-surrender. Because we think sometimes we have surrendered already, but it's mentioned that there's 2 types of surrender. There's the external surrender where you take up the practices of Krishna consciousness, come to the temple, do all these different things. But if the heart is not given to the Lord, then it's not the same. Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj said that Krishna is not so much concerned how much you're giving to him. He's thinking about how much you're holding back. That's how much you're holding back. That's how he wants to see. It's like when Sudama went to Krishna's house, and was trying to hide the rice, but he wanted to see. That's what he's more concerned about. Are you giving 100%? You know? There was this game we used to play when we were kids, where there'll be a group of people behind, and then they'll ask you to jump, and then they'll catch you. Right? That just to test how much faith and trust you have. It was a game we used to play. So sometimes Krishna does that. He wants to see how much are we prepared to jump. Because when we take that leap of faith, then the relationship is deeper. Because if a relationship is all within certain parameters, I do this because I'm more comfortable with it, then the relationship is not as deep as it could be. So Prabhupada explains in these verses, in this verse and this purport, the importance of surrendering to the Lord. Because unless and until we surrender to the Lord, there's no freedom from material entanglement. Right, so these verses may seem really elevated, but if we practice Krishna consciousness with a determined mood that no matter what happens, Krishna will be there for me, right? Then Krishna will appear for us. There's a story that was once told. One devotee, he said that one time there was this man who had a rock in his backyard, massive rock, like, and one day God appeared to him in a dream and he said that I want you to do something for me. This person was a religious person. He said there's this massive stone in your backyard, and what I want you to do, I want you to go to the backyard and I want you to push this stone. Right? So this is quite strange. God wants you to push a stone. But because he was religious, he went out the next day and he started pushing the stone because that's what he'd been instructed to do by the Lord. Right? So he was pushing, the stone was not moving. And he was thinking, what's going on? I've been told to push this stone by the Lord himself, but it's not moving. So he became frustrated and he gave up. Right? That night, the Lord appeared to him in a dream again and said, I told you to push the stone. Right? Next day he went to push again, the stone was not moving. So completely frustrated. So he decided he's not going to push the stone anymore. So God came to him one more time and said, so, you're going to push the stone? He said, but you told me to push the stone, but I'm trying to push it again and again, but the stone is not moving. And then God said to him, what did I tell you? I told you to push the stone. I didn't tell you to move it. I told you push it, and I'll do the moving. All you have to do is just keep pushing the stone, and I'll move it like that. So the point here is that whatever practices we have to take up in our Krishna consciousness, however difficult that may be, we're not the person in control of the result. All we can really do is endeavor, and the result will come from Krishna. And even if the result does not come, it doesn't matter. As long as Krishna is pleased, that's what really matters. Right? Because it doesn't matter what people think. Right? Of us, when we're doing our service. Doesn't matter what people think of our abilities, or probably a very good speaker, a very good kirtaneer. Question is, what does Krishna think? If the whole world thinks you're a great person, but Krishna is not impressed with you, everything you're doing is useless. Right? But if Krishna is impressed with you and the whole world thinks you're a clown, your life is successful. Right? So that's the point here. Yeah, and that's real surrender. Who's the most important person in our life? Krishna. And anything that we can do in our life, if it's somehow connected to Krishna, that's also successful. But if it's not, it's completely useless. And a devotee would disregard it. Whether it's prestige, whether it's fame, ability, doesn't matter. If it's not connected to Krishna, useless. And these are the principles of surrender. And surrender is very important because that's the only way we can go back to Godhead like that. So while I got to stop here, I think I've gone way over time. So I'd like to apologize to Panchatattva and I'd like to apologize to the devotees. I think there's no time for questions. So I'll stop here. Mataji, you can. Well, thank you very much and Hare Krishna.